My son has taken this song over. My dad sang it many, many years ago. I'm glad to have it on. There's an old, old Patterson album. Well, actually, an album was all they had it on. And I remember growing up, I finally figured out that was actually my father singing. And he had had a 102 temperature, cold or something. The song, though, is better than the voice that was singing it. One day when we pass, I'm glad that there's going to be somebody waiting for me.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, my mom and dad's already gone. That's not who I'm looking for to be waiting right. for me. I'd like to maybe pass by and see him as I head to the feet of Jesus, give him a high five or something, but can't wait for the day to be able to see him. But I thank God for his son who died upon the cross for the plan of salvation. It was all for you and me. I don't know why he loved me, but he saved me by his grace. I know when it happened, and I can show you the place. Just over there in glory, I'll be waiting for you. Maybe down by the river, or just inside the gate, I want to take your hand as we walk the streets of gold, where we can praise the name of Jesus while the ages shall roll. Please don't weep over me when my Savior calls me home. I've spent my life here getting ready. I'll just be going over home. As you view this old body, I've already made it through. When you cross old chilly Jordan, I'll be waiting for you. Just over there in glory, I'll be waiting for you. Maybe down by the river, or just inside the gate, I want to take your hand as we walk the streets of gold, where we can praise the name of Jesus while the ages shall roll.
Amen.
This is just an old body that hadn't, just a shell. There's no good in it. One day when we lay it down, we're going to have that good, only part that's good is that spiritual soul that we have that will leave it and go on for a while. And then it says we'll come back and be rejoined with it. I don't understand that at all. Well, I want to come back to this old thing after I've already been with God, but that's what it says, and we'll see how that plays out in the end. And I don't really care. I'm going to be with my Lord, I know, all in all. And not because of anything that I've done. He made the plan. Pharaoh followed through with this plan that his son would come and die for me, pay for all my sins and all my debts. So what did I do? Well, I didn't save me. Right. He did. Right. I got my heart conditioned to where I could worship him, as we talked about last week, to a point where I could be in touch with him and commune with God. And if your heart has any part of this world in it, that part, at that moment, you'll never find him. you get all of it out of the way and just see God, He'll save you. That's the only thing. And of all the times I've wanted to know what it would be like to be saved, I think I ask it many times, how will I know? And as that horrible answer that everybody always says, you'll know. I didn't like that. I wanted to know what to look for. I wanted to know when I would get there. Even Mom, when she gave me directions to anywhere, she always made fun of me because she always had to tell me a food place to turn. Yeah, you know, turn it to Hardee's. I'm like, okay, got it. I wanted to know exactly what I was looking for, to know when that change happened. And it's indescribable. Even today, we're at 1990, so 35 years later. I look back and I can't explain it any more today than I could then. It's peace, it's joy, it's love. I can't tell you why, can't tell you how, really. But He loved me, and that's all I know. I know He put a love in me that day that I can't explain it today. But you have a love for mankind. You should, if you were saved, a love for mankind like God has that wants to see them saved. Because you don't want to see anybody go to hell. We nobody does. It's a horrible, awful place. But even better, how much heaven is. That Jesus is there. It's going to be just absolutely glorious. We can read in what Paul's writings and the visions that he had, and they sound amazing. And I think it's better than that. So thankful this morning that God has saved me. I'm thankful that when I put my trust in Him, He can stand with me. And I've asked for your prayers that He'll do that again for me today. I'm going to start off in the 15th chapter of Luke. And again, as He put this on me, it's, I don't know if it's fun's the right word, but I love reading what He puts on me to look at and then seeing what He gives me out of it. This is the story of the prodigal son that I've read many times. And I really got to thinking this time as I studied, the prodigal son really isn't the important part of this story. And I'm like, how can that be? And I'll get there. We're going to read from the 11th verse, I believe to the end of the chapter, which is quite a bit, so I'll go as quick as I can. But and a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathereth all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, sinned against heaven, and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I'm going to stop right there for the first part. Many of us have heard this prodigal son, and I don't know if we know it or not. This is each and every one of us. We look at this son as he went off and he asked for his inheritance. And the customs of that time, the eldest would have got a double portion. And then everybody else would have been taken. So basically he got a third of his father's everything. His wealth, his net wealth, net worth, I guess you would call it. He got a third of it. It was unheard of to ask for your inheritance early. It absolutely would have shocked his father when he asked for it. Where are my notes going? Here we go. So when he asked for this, it doesn't say that the dad really went against it. It basically said he got his third together and gave it to him. Go. So what does the son do? It's what we do. God gives us everything that we need. We've taken care of. If we ask to go do that, sometimes he'll say, here, go. Go do it. And then what happens? We waste it. He was riotous living. He was having a grand old life for a little bit. I'm sure he was having parties and drinking, and we go down later, see that his eldest son says that he was going with the harlots, he was having prostitutes. He was everywhere the worst way of living that you can think of. He had left his son, he had basically said, I'm not part of you anymore. Well, then a famine came. And when you don't have any money, you don't have any food. Even in a famine, if you got some money, you'll find some food. But he didn't have anything. And he got down to where he was, I think, in a very dire need of anything to eat. So he goes and talks to this farmer, and he lets him work and feed the swine. Now this is just, if you don't know about swine, this is the lowest of the low for the Jewish people. They were nasty animals according to them. They had the cloven hooves and it was an absolute symbol of loathing, the pig was. And that's where he was at, feeding the pig. And finding any food that he can. I believe that as he fed the pigs, the food that was feeding to the pigs is what he was trying to eat. But when you hit rock bottom, and I believe that's where he's at. No money, he's doing the worst of worst jobs that he could possibly have and feeding these pigs. When you hit rock bottom, sometimes that's where we need to get to before we see there's one way up.
Right. Amen.
And so he thinks and goes, well, these hired servants that my dad has, he's got bread and extra, and I'm starving feeding these nasty pigs. He goes, maybe it's time that I go back to my father. But he's not going to go back with any kind of big head or that, hey, this is my dad, I'm going in. He's crawling back to his dad. He has been drawn low. So he goes back. This might be my favorite verse in this whole scripture. And when his dad sees him, when the father sees him, he's afar off, crawling back. Does he stand there and wait for him? He runs to get him. When you come crawling back to God, no matter what position you've been in, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter how far you have turned away from Him, when you start coming back to Him, He's going to run to you. He has totally slapped his father in the face saying, I'm leaving and I want everything you got. I want my part so I can go. I've slapped God in the face a few times. And I'm just so thankful that He's brought me back. Amen. In times in my ministry that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, I was laying out, not going out trying to find appointments. And basically wasn't preaching at all. In times in my life that I've sinned against my father and my house and everything that I've done, and I can only look to God. And the thing that God does is He forgives. Sometimes I'd have times keep forgiving myself. My Father's already forgiven me and forgot about it. He didn't bring him in and just throw him straight into the servant's quarters. He brought him his best robe. He brought him a fatted calf that they're happy he's back. And as God is, every time that one comes back to him, he's happy, I'm sure, as just as this family has a feast and is happy and party that the child has come back. I believe God's the same way. When someone comes back to the Lord and decides that they are the one, that God is the one that they want to follow, they want to work and try to work for God and make worship Him and to serve Him, I believe that heaven rejoices. I know they do for when a sinner comes home. Can you imagine if God didn't, wasn't so merciful and so graceful? But I believe the bigger part of this whole story is the oldest brother. Because you have to remember, this is a parable. This isn't necessarily a real story. This is something that Jesus had made up to make a point, to show something. And you have to look at who he's talking to here. He's talking to the Pharisees. So when he talks to these Pharisees, I believe they're the older brother, if you want to look at it that way. In the 25th verse, "Now his eldest son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and was not, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, and hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Now, I don't know how this brother ever turned. It never says he turned and said, okay, I get it. But at this point in time, his brother is back, and he still has nothing. He's still just going to be a servant, but he's back. He's alive. He can work for his father. This son, yes, he stood his ground. He never did anything wrong. He did what Dad said. He followed the father constantly. And he's like, how come I don't get a party? I've been here all the time. I've been working for you day and night. I never strayed. I followed the word. But yet here I am out working in the field and you're partying for my deadbeat brother. As these Pharisees that he's talking to have to understand, as Jesus came in and he is there, there's going to be these low-life deadbeats that are going to come in and find Jesus. And what you need to find out is, God loves them. Amen. Yes, He is very happy that you have been there and stand strong. But when the newcomers come in, when the ones that are coming back to God come in, we should be happy. Amen. Not be jealous. These people are going to come in and a new grace and the feeling of God in their soul is going to come in, and they are hopefully going to need to be bubbled up and boiled over so that we can train them and teach them in the ways of God so they can follow what God tells them to do. There's no place in God's house for jealousy. I know my Uncle Larry used to say constantly, I don't have a jealous bone in my body. I don't care where I hear somebody being saved, I want to hear them being saved. I would love to see one saved right here. But if I hear from Any church that we know of that if somebody has been saved by the grace of God and the truth, we should rejoice. And not be angry because it's not here. When we hear that 10, 20 have been saved in Belize or Africa, all over across the world, we should rejoice and not be jealous. Do we have a desire to see him here? Yes, I definitely do. Matthew chapter 20, I want to read one more. Won't be too much longer here. So many times as I've sat in a church service and I've heard preachers preach, and I'm like, you're preaching it to me. I'm here. But it's something I need to hear sometimes. And even though I might say, well, I knew that already, many times it's set in my soul a different way. It touched me in a different way. Chapter 20, verse 1, the parable of the hired laborers. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. But he needed help. And so he just went out. I'm assuming, I know sometimes at Home Depot you'll see some guys standing out front that you can hire to do stuff for you. I think it's very similar. Some point in some place in this town, there was a place that people that wanted to work would go. And if you needed help, you would go to that spot and you would get who you could get. Verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the market. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, that whosoever is right, I will give you. That whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So these people are going to work and he's telling them, I'm going to be right to you. I'm going to pay you the correct way. The very first bunch, he told them, I'm going to give you a penny a day. Everybody after that, I'm sure thought that they would get a portion as they went in to work for this person in the vineyard. I'm sure that the person that went in at the ninth hour didn't think that they were going to get a full penny because they didn't work a full day. In the eighth verse, So when even was come, that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, being from the last unto the first. That's important. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with... I'm sorry, let me try that again. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called... but few chosen. Again, we're in dealing with money. Anytime we deal with money, I always like, yep, there's going to be sin somewhere. Now, if you were the first person to get hired that very first part of the day, and he said, I'm going to give you a penny, maybe a little more now, but you're going to get a certain amount. And you get to work. You agree? Yep, I'll do it. And you get to work. And then you see people come in later. And then you go to get your pay. It was custom that when they finished their day's labor, they got paid before they went home. And when he took that last first, the one that had done the least amount of work, right? Hadn't worked for just maybe an hour. And he got the same amount as the person that worked the full day. Now in our human minds, and you think about it, you're like, well, that's not fair. If I made a penny, then he should get less than me. When God pays us, he pays us in full, right? I don't care if you're just been the man that was on the cross next to Jesus is going to be in heaven just like I am. And he may have been a believer in Jesus for 30 seconds, and I may be for 100 years, but guess what? We're still going to be in heaven. So I don't care if you've been working for 30 minutes or you've been tasking all your life and strive to work for Jesus, what a reward is going to be the same in heaven. Now, there's going to be more of the that we can work and do the rewards that he will give us that we can cast at Jesus' feet. We're still going to be in heaven. And that's always been a worry for me. There's some of the younger people that got saved that they would come in and go, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I'm out of here. That makes me worry sometimes. I don't quite understand, and I see it a lot, how somebody that can be saved and have the knowledge of God in their heart and all that he's done for them and be able to turn away and do something else. If you've got true salvation, I'm not sure how that works. Don't get me wrong, I've laid out on God. I never went a totally different direction. I don't understand. And those times, and I've said it before, but when those times when I didn't go to church for a while, there wasn't a Sunday that went by that I didn't think and know I should have been in the house of God. Not one. God loves all of his children. I pray that we see some come back. That's been my prayer since day one. As I hear different people that you have talked about that are family members that have been baptized and are members of the church but aren't here, I pray for them. They are a great asset to this church if they were here. And you're like, yeah, but they've been out. How are they going to help? God has a way for them.
That's right. Amen.
If they belong here, God can bring them back. But he has to do it with each person individually. And we don't quite understand how that works sometimes. So all we can do is pray. We can pray for them and say, we know, soften their heart. Let them see the ways that they are going. Let the world that they are following right now see how bad that is working for them and how much better it is with God. And as the world goes, I want to guarantee you the way that God sees, that we following God, it doesn't look good. It doesn't. And there, I mean, I don't know what everybody's into, but if you look at our path, we're going to tell them, well, we can't be drinking. I'm going to tell you, I think that turns away. I'm doing it all right. I get in trouble for saying, I'm going to tell you. As the drinking goes, I believe more people have been turned away from the Baptist religion that we have because of alcohol. You're like, what? We can't drink? Well, I'm not doing that. Is alcohol that big a deal? And it is to some people. I know my wife and her family has an alcoholic in their past, and they went through many, her father has been an AA sober for 45, 50 years. And, she understands it better than I have because she's lived through it. I don't understand it. I go to any kind of game or anything, ball game that I go to, they're like $12 when I get a Coke for $5. I'm like, I'm going for the Coke every day. Just money-wise, I don't want to be an alcoholic. But when you say, well, that's, we shun that. We don't go for that. We want you to have a sober mind. That's tough. And there's no exceptions. We can't start bending the rules because we want to see people in here. If you, when Jesus had followers following him, well, he had a, just a herd behind him at one point. Thousands of people. By the time he got to the cross, he was alone. When he says that this is the way to follow me, that's the way we have to follow him. If we're not following him in the path that he has given us, we're really astray. We're like, well, I don't want to do that. That's part of what God, following God is. Denying self, picking up the cross, and striving forward for Jesus. That's what the disciples had to do. What Paul had to do. We have to be make sure that we're ready to talk to these people. We have to make sure that we are in a place that we need to be. We can't, so many times I hear that these churches were hypocrites, and that's 100% correct. We're trying to tell people how to come look for Jesus when we're not doing very well ourselves. We want to see these people back, but we show them a terrible example of what it means to be a Christian and in God's church. And I'm not saying that to anybody in particular. I'm saying that to me. We want to see him come back. We need to live the life that Jesus wants us to live. We need to try to worship Jesus and get close contact with God, that we can be a closeness, that we can be an influence on our loved ones that we want to see come back. I guess I didn't even look at this one. I don't believe that we're going to be jealous to see somebody come back. I hope not. Let's pray for them. Pray for them hard. We're not just like a fleeting prayer as we kind of fake prayers at meals sometimes. I mean, find just a place to close the door in our prayer closets, block out everything else, and pray. Till God gives us an answer, or till we see him come back, one of the two. He'll do it. He'll give you an answer if you listen. You get quiet, he'll whisper it to you. That's my message today. I don't want us to be like the Pharisees. I don't want us to be angry or envious when people come back, and I don't think we will. But I think we're going to, many times there's a feeling for people trying to come back that, well, how are they going to look at me? What are they going to think if I come back now? They know I've done this, they know I've done that, and I'm going to come back. They're going to be like, well, now you're going to come back? Never happened to me. I've never seen it happen. My way, I guess there's always some people that will look at you that way, but I want to have a loving, arms open kind of feeling to where we'll run out to meet them if they want to come back. That's what God wants. Yeah. I know that's what many of you want. That's what God wants. Mm-hmm. See how we can't chain them up and bring them in against their will. You have to pray to God that he can do that. He can do it.
Yeah,
he can do it. So let's pray. That's my message today. I just want us to be mindful of our needs and wants. When we take them to God, and he may look around and see, well, this person's doing so much better than I am. Maybe you couldn't handle that. I think about that sometimes. Maybe I don't got no money because I couldn't handle money. But he's given me enough. Right. We get by.
Amen.
You can tell I've definitely been fed.
Amen.
I've got clothes on. I've got transportation. I've got a roof over my head. I'm trying to find another one. We're going to get it. But he's taking care of us.
Yes.
Never said he's going to take care of our wants. He'd take care of our needs.
Amen.
So let's pray to God. We've got many, many prayer requests I've heard for those that are sick, those that have not been here. He is the answer. He's the one that can help us.
Right.
I wish I could. I wish I could fix it.
Yeah.
Only he can. That's my message. Anything on anybody's heart this morning?